This is Leo Baibu for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio. We are in the midst of August now. We've down in Two Harbors gotten through a fascinating festival called the Festive Sail, in fact. And up in Finland, Minnesota, they have an annual celebration of Finnish homestead heritage called the Tori. Tori is, as I understand it, Finnish for an outdoor or open marketplace. And I have on the phone with me today a member of the Finland, Minnesota Historical Society, Randall Walls. Welcome to the program, Randall. We're having you back. We've had you on a couple times in the last 2 months because you're a very involved guy, it appears.
I think you're glad to be back talking about something else.
Yeah, you've been on the board. I like how it's the Finland, Minnesota Historical Society to distinguish it from perhaps the nation of Finland. I like that.
It's a very important piece to point out.
It is indeed. And you've been on this board for a while, and you, as you told me earlier, are on a working board for the organization that puts together this amazing array of activities that happen at the Finland Heritage Site. So, Randall, maybe you can give us all a little background on your historical society, the one that's Finland, Minnesota in nature. In a lot of us are familiar with other historical societies. And then what it is that you're putting on and a little bit about the development of the Tori. Give us a little almanac of all things Tori,
sure.
Maybe.
Well, let's first talk about where Finland, Minnesota is. So it's just outside of Silver Bay, so it is just up Highway 1. You drive through it, it has the oldest cooperative general store in Minnesota at 105 years now. So
wow.
It still operates. We all still go there regularly, which is really great. So it has a lot of history in this area. And the heritage site is just down Highway 6, and it's a 40-acre site that was deeded to the Finland, Minnesota Historical Society by Lake County. And so that is a store itself. We have a building on there called John Pine, and the 40 acres was John Pine's, and he just disappeared, and nobody knows what happened to him. It's a mystery. It's kind of a fun thing to talk about. And eventually, the land got forfeited, came back to the county, and the county donated it to the Historical Society when they decided they wanted to try to upkeep their traditions and track their history in this area. So that's kind of how it all started.
And so the Historical Society acquired this, I think you told me, in something like the late 80s, 1987. Are there people who are involved even today who were involved in getting the historical heritage site up and running?
Absolutely. Our board chair, Bonnie Ticketon, is an original founder of the Historical Society, and she is a wealth of knowledge. She can tell you just about everybody who's donated down to the dollar amount at any point in time. And she knows everybody in the community, knows the history, and just knows all the people, whether they're still living here or they moved away or they came back. She just knows Minnesota inwards and outwards, and it's just great to have her a part of that.
What an incredible resource.
And there are a few other volunteers that have been on and off the board over the years that are still here and still help us out.
I actually had the pleasure of seeing Bonnie on TV the other day. I believe she said John Pine's last name in Finnish. You don't happen to recall that, do you, Randall? I'm putting you on the spot.
I think it... I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I probably shouldn't say it. She would be the one that would know it better. John Petaja, does that sound correctly? P-E-T-A-J-A, and I can't speak Finnish, so I don't know how those J's are actually pronounced. So
I've actually faced that dilemma and not known, because not all the Nordic countries' languages are actually from the same derivation, so you don't want to offend anybody. So I don't dip in either myself if I'm not sure. But, well, we'll have to ask Bonnie. But we have you today, and you're doing a great job, Randall, of telling us what is going on in terms of how this heritage site, exactly how did the Tori Fest get off the ground, a little bit about its development, because it's kind of a unique celebration. It sounds like it sort of morphed from originally being a celebration of Midsummer Days and maybe somebody else doing a music festival, and now you've kind of created a hybrid.
Yep, and kind of became all of its own. So that's exactly what happened. We had two kind of big events that were happening on the site and decided that was just a little too much just for our area, and put it all together just to help us organize it better and get more people involved in the event. So we've moved to the second Saturday of August, always the second Saturday of August. which is just kind of good. So you can keep coming back as many times as you want every year.
Indeed.
And so it's this Saturday on the 13th. And we do so all day music. So it starts at 10 a.m., rain or shine, and it goes until 5. And so the music's going the whole time. We have several vendors, more than we've had in the last few years, which is really exciting this year. So 15 vendors, and they're doing all kinds of things to sell. So we have local maple syrup, and we have a lot of handcrafted goods from local people here as well. And then on the handcrafted side, we're doing lots of demonstrations. We have somebody who's doing kind of a Nordic or Finnish wood carving. We always have a blacksmith every single year working and showing off that trade skill. And then all of our buildings and tours are available just to kind of see the historic sites itself. We also have events for children this year. So starting at 11 and all the way through the end, there's hour and a half long programs, and you can come and go from those as you want, but you can be a part of those. And so it's definitely a family friendly, a big fun day.
So for all ages, and I see on a list of a lot of neat things to take in, it says make and take art projects. Are those for people of all ages? Or are they mostly focused on the younger set?
There is a little bit of both. So most of it's going to be set on the children, but some of the crafting folks have things available. So demonstrators will have things in order for you to walk away with too. So they're just kind of quick little projects for you to kind of see and get started and get your fingers wet and kind of become interested in it. And so you can learn more as you go.
I see here as well a silent auction, something that's ongoing all day long, or is it just for a certain period of time with a closing at a certain time of the day?
Yeah, it closes before a little bit before. So I think it's 3:30 or 4 is when the silent auction will close. And
okay.
So everything will be out at 10 when we start. And you have all day to bid on it.
Wow.
So, we have some really great items this year. A lot of great help from around our area to help raise our money, because that's what the Tory is. It is our main and one of our only fundraisers for the whole year. And so the money that we get from this event help us get through. Saying that, though, the event itself is free. So enjoy the music for free. Purchasing and participating are the ways that we make the money off of. So we have two food booths. One is serving our famous herring sandwiches.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. Yeah. I think I read somewhere that it was called a herring burger. So it's not necessarily a filet on a bun. It's a special concoction of your own secret recipe, perhaps.
Yeah, Bonnie took it in special, and she's been doing it for years, and she has it dialed in. So it's
okay.
And we pretty much always sell out. Not until later in the day, but I don't remember there ever being a whole lot of herring at the end of the day. But then we have hot dogs and hamburgers and corn on the cob dipped in butter. So, yeah, it just can be plenty of food to be able to have while you're enjoying the music and the craft.
And I guess it's worth talking about what buildings and what the grounds are like. Is it John Pine's homestead, is it sizable, and is it mostly wooded or a wide clearing, having been a pasture or something?
The main part of the heritage site where all of our buildings are is cleared. John Pine Building is it is pretty close to original. We set the John Pine house up for a family. John Pine was a bachelor, so it would have been a little bit different.
Sure.
But we did set it up with a lot of the original stuff that was in there, and then just kind of made it look more what maybe a family, which it only has two rooms. There's the bedroom and the kitchen, living room space.
Not a lot of room to get lost in.
No, not at all. So that's a fun building to kind of see. We have a sauna that was donated that is in the area, so you can see kind of one of the original saunas. We have the school from our area from back in the day that was just moved one road over. It was near, it's almost close, it's close to the location it was originally put up. We were able to move it and put it on our site. And so we have a school marm who is down there and talking about what it would be like to go to school about that time in the 1950s and 60s in the Finland area. The blacksmith shop, which will be open, and we have somebody working in there the whole time, which is pretty amazing. There's also a trail that goes through a lot of the property, so it's a really enjoyable nature trail to walk around just to get your feet moving as well.
Wow. Okay, so you can stretch your legs if you come for the day. All the while, entertainment. I'll just read it off if you don't mind, Randall. We begin the day with the Two Harbors Ukulele Group, Thug. Glad we're sending ambassadors from Two Harbors up to Finland, because we all enjoy it up there. We just don't make it up there nearly as often, and it'd be fun to find Thug out in the woods in Finland. And then I know Gene LaFond and Amy Grillo quite well out of Silver Bay. The Lindela brothers, I believe, are both Finnish-American young men, and they're playing. and Bill and Kate Isles, who are well-known folk singers out of the greater Duluth area, and then John Agaki, a fellow I'm just getting to know, who just last week was doing sea shanties at our Two Harbors Public Library. So John probably has a pretty rich repertoire. So that's like a complete music festival in and of itself.
It is. It's a packed day, and the music goes, you know, we just do a 15-minute break between groups, and it's going the whole time. So it's just a wonderful way to spend an afternoon up here on the North Shore.
Yeah, and when you mentioned the school, was that a one-room schoolhouse that was moved, or something a little more modern, but, well, maybe it was still one room?
Yeah, it's a one-room schoolroom, so it's probably 20 by 30
okay.
Space. It's set up with school marm's room, so a lot of times the school teachers would travel in and then leave, so they had their own room right there, and then
right.
A small library, and okay. A lot of the books are still unfinished, so if you're up on your finish, you can get some light reading in, or heavy if you really wanted to. And of course, it comes with a dunce cap and some games as well. So
complete with a dunce cap. Thank you. That explains why there was a dunce cap on the table when the folks from the Historical Society were on TV the other day. They never did get to that during that TV interview, why they had a dunce cap.
No, they didn't. It's funny to see it there the whole time, though. It's just kind of
It truly was. And among people have many incentives for doing events. I see there's also a cash raffle that wraps up at the conclusion of the event. And so there are a lot of reasons to stick around, probably, I guess, if you've bought into that drawing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the music goes all the way to the end. Or just pick up your silent auction items at the end as well. So, yeah, you want to be there through the day.
And so, in fact, there's a variety of food such that you could do lunch and an early dinner, or an early supper, if you will, before heading out.
It's been known to happen. You can get from one booth, you can get your herring sandwich for lunch and come over and have a hot dog or a hamburger for dinner.
Fantastic.
So we have snow cones and popcorn to fill you in between.
So, Randall, I did want to make sure people knew the best way of getting there, because I know that people are used to going inland straight to Finland, but they can go up to where Highway 6 intersects Highway 61, can't they? Is that maybe the most direct route for people coming from far away to the south?
Yep. So, yeah, you can drive. If you're heading north on 61, you take one up into Finland, and you turn right at Highway 6 or County 6.
Yeah.
And then you'll come along and up on your left. Or like you said, you can take 61 past Highway 1, stay on the lakeshore, and go up to County 6 and take a left there. And then you come in from the other side. You know, not a lot of people do, and it's kind of a fun way to see it. And then you'll hit it.
Okay, great.
Quicker.
Sometimes County 6, also called the Little Murray Road, right there, right almost at the edge of Lake County where it hits Cook County. Great. And then it's over at 5 p.m., but it's not really over because you have more on Sunday.
Yeah,
you get back together again. You haven't gotten sick and tired of each other at all. The fellowship continues on Sunday morning, right, with a pancake breakfast.
Yep, we do a pancake breakfast after the touring. So that starts at 8 and goes till 10. It's just a pretty casual affair, just to kind of enjoy each other's company and talk about the day before a little bit. So
if you're coming from a little further away, you'd probably want to have accommodations for you for that night to take in the breakfast. But boy, if you can get back the next day, if breakfast is too early for you to get back to Finland, you should really come back for the pickup truck opera. Come on, Randall. That's a misprint, right?
No, that's a pickup truck opera. So they pull in and they travel around and do their opera, which is original. And a lot of the set is set up out of the truck. And so they kind of look at the site, they decide how they're going to set up. But then, you know, and so everywhere they do, it's a little different because they have to match it to the setting around them. And so they do a full opera. The story is both goes through, and there's some, you know, English spread out in there. And then the songs are definitely all opera style, but they do it really fun, where they sometimes translate it as they go in fun ways through scrolls or papers. But of course, you can tell so much because it's really fun to watch them act it out, because they're really good at it too. So it's that's at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Wow. Well, I don't want to give too much away, but does the action take place in the bed of pickup trucks, or is that just how they get the gear there?
Some of it does. There is
okay.
Definitely, it's part of the set.
Got
a lot
it.
Of times. So.
Okay. It wouldn't be the same without the pickup truck has to be there. Good. Okay. Good to know. I also see that you have some of your other community organizations involved. The Finland Volunteer Fire Department is there on Saturday as well?
Yeah, they pull up the fire truck and just
they're down there. They have stuff for the kids to do, and you can take a tour of the fire truck, which is always fun.
In covering, you know, what the different demos might be, I forgot to note, there's always somebody in every family who really wants to see various implements, forestry or farming implements. And it says here on this list that you have an implement garden, meaning that you have an array of implements of all ages sitting out to be gawked at and walked around and checked out. Something like that?
So a lot of it's horse-drawn. There's some original kind of one-stroke motors out there.
Okay.
It's just, you know, a lot of the farmers in the area, when they were upgrading, it was like, oh, well, we'll keep this. And that was one of the reasons why the Historical Society started in the first place. There was just this moving of transitioning into modern day, and they wanted to capture what was going on and what people were using in this area. So a lot of that stuff has been...
Yes.
In order to keep that memory alive.
I guess I should have gotten to this sooner, that it seems to go without saying that a historical society would have some form of museum. Can you remind me again exactly the entire homestead site, the heritage site, functions as a museum, or is there one particular building that is dedicated to, you know, exhibits and whatnot?
We do have, so, you know, all the buildings have something historical in them, but we do have a modern museum where we have neat paper clippings and stories from original homestead families and a lot of really cool items that you can really get up close and look at, and including a weaver, you know, like one of the carpet weaver stuff. So I'm sure that's not the right name for it.
But, a loom. Perhaps a loom?
A loom, thank you. Yes. Of course it's a loom, yes.
Yeah, the answer was looming there.
Yeah, it was right there. We usually have somebody who's operating it during the day. Unfortunately, the two people that do it most often were unavailable. So I don't know if we're going to have somebody running it that day, but it is operational. And most of our Tories, we do have somebody there showing how it works.
Right, a very important, well, an implement of sorts for people on homesteads is an essential piece. Maybe somebody would have had that skill in the community and become a very valuable member of it. Well, anyway, speaking of valuable, it's really valuable that you guys up in Finland have a Finland, Minnesota Historical Society, and you're really completely self-funded then. You're not really reliant or don't usually receive any government grant supplements, Randall? You make your own way?
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit. We have lots of help from local entities. We also are helped by the Minnesota State Historical Society.
Oh,
so they do support us, but the majority of our funds are self-made and maintained.
I know that's an ever-present need in most nonprofits is you have a budget and it includes a revenue side each year, and somehow you have to raise that. And I salute you. You've been doing it for over 30 years and apparently really successfully. So I encourage everyone to check out the Tory. You can go online to your website. Do you have a Facebook page as well for the event or for the Historical Society, Randall?
Yep, we've got both. So you can check us out on Facebook, which is the Finland Minnesota Historical Society. And then there's links there to our website, which is also finlandminhistoricalsociety.com, where you can check out our stuff and see the flyer for the event.
Yeah, it's very informative, very colorful. I think everybody will be able to find their way there and have a great time. Unless you can you think of anything I forgot to ask you about, Randall, about the tour?
I would just say, once again, it is free, so it's a free day.
Oh, by the way, I'm not allowed to say that, so you had to say that. Non-commercial radio stations we can't give a gate fee for anything, so folks know why say that.
And we'll be there rain or shine, so right now the weather's looking really great. So there might be a little bit of showers in the morning, but I think it should all be done by the time we start. So
I know, and you did
be a beautiful day.
Yeah, and you did tell me you have a large tent for the day where people could go in if there was a spritz.
Yep,
a little shower. Great.
Or too much sun. It's been known to get really hot in August, even up here. So
yes,
if it's too warm, you can get out of the sun there. Or if there's a little shower, you can get underneath our big tent, and where a lot of our vendors will be. So you can also continue to do your shopping if you wanted.
Fantastic. Well, it is a pleasure visiting with you about Tory. It's something that I have on my list of things to do. If I can't get there this year, I will be there surely next year, Randall. Summer goes by so quickly. This will be one of the events that we would treasure if we had to make a calendar of things to do, doing something fairly close to home. I mean, it is your home. It's fairly close for a lot of us. We really should make it up and see what the Finland community has to offer, which is a whole lot, really. this is quite an event to put on by such a small community. All I can
say, it's a lot of work, but we definitely enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, and it shows. Thanks so much for being with us today, Randall.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You take care and have a great Tory weekend. Bye now.
Thank you.
That was Randall Walls, board member of the Finland-Minnesota Historical Society, the Tory event at the Finland Heritage Site, which is 4.6 miles off Highway 61 on County Road 6. That's going on this weekend, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. This is Leo for KTWH.